Hanson Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. You know, you never really appreciate something until it's taken away from you. And Steve Klocke's been calling Bees games for so many years. Steve, how many seasons is this for you?
This will be the 27th season after being put on hold last year. So 27 down.
So, I mean, like, I my wife gets upset at me all the time when I complain. I'm like, I got to go to a Jazz game tonight. So she's like, what's wrong with you? You're going to a Jazz game. It's your job. Like, that's a pretty good gig. But, you know, look, for when you do it day in and day out, it still becomes a job. Do you have a little bit more appreciation for what you have? I mean, after that miserable last year?
I think I do. I mean, from the standpoint that, you know, something taken away from me like this, it was just it was hard. I mean, you guys both know that yard work can't cover everything, although my yard does look as good as it's ever looked before because of all the time I spent at home. But, no, it's great to be back. I definitely missed it, and it's just you can't ask for a better day to come back to with the sun shining, temperatures going to be in the mid-80s, and not a cloud in the sky.
So have you been practicing? Like, how do you get back into game shape, Steve, with the calls and the names and just practicing and researching?
I've been doing a lot of researching, Hans. For those who don't know, I think a lot of people do, that I keep a 4x6 index card on every player in the league. So the last few days, I've been once we've got the rosters, I have been doing all my cards for the first two homestands with the Reno and Tacoma coming in, plus our own ball club, which seems to be changing every minute because of injuries at the big league level with the Angels. But no, it's you know, and that's part of it. I mentioned on Channel 2 last night that you know, one of the things I missed, they asked me what are the little things I missed. Well, one of it was the game prep. That's one of my favorite parts, because there's nothing better than finding a nugget about somebody that, oh wait, I can't wait to use this the first time he comes to bat or something like that.
I've seen the stack of cards, by the way, and it's real and it's impressive, and there's no doubt about it. All right, so we talked to the manager yesterday, and by the way, you know, 34 years old, but really fun conversation. He's got some great history and really fired up. But he mentioned what you said. This roster is certainly in flux, and it could be an interesting start to the season for sure. It
very well could be. The only thing I know for sure is Jaime Barría is going to be the starting pitcher. Other than that, you know, we've been a constant loss of play. I think we've lost four or five players this week alone because of problems with the Angels. But Lou Marcin, you know, he'll have to play circus juggler in getting that lineup put together on a day-in and day-out basis until the Angels get healthy. Did he admit, by the way, to being in one of the most famous plays in recent history in Major League Baseball?
He did not.
No.
I'm sure you've all seen the highlight when the Cleveland Indians were playing the White Sox, and Mark Burley was the pitcher for Chicago, and he went after a ball that he knocked down. It went into foul territory, and he flipped it with his back to first base with his glove to get the batter out.
I remember that.
Yeah, Lou Marcin was the batter who was thrown out.
No kidding.
See, I think that's where the phrase "runs like a catcher" comes from.
Wow, I had no idea.
Yeah, no, there was no mention of that at all.
Surprising.
But man, we had such a blast, such a fun conversation. And Steve, I love learning about the game of baseball, and we were throwing so many different questions at him. I'm going to throw a question at you that I had saved it that I wanted to ask him and didn't get a chance to ask him. What would you rather watch as an announcer sitting in the booth? Would you rather watch a pretty high scoring game that ended in a walk off grand slam, or a low scoring? We'll just go no hitter. We won't say perfect, but a no hitter.
I would go with the no-hitter, Hans, from the standpoint that they're so rare, particularly in the what is now known as AAA West and not the Pacific Coast League, because of the, you know, hitter-friendly ballparks all around the league. I think in our first 26 years, I've only seen two 9-inning no-hitters, one for and one against, and neither one was in this ballpark. You know, the other thing, the high-scoring game, we see a lot of that with the walk-off. I distinctly remember in 1998, New Orleans scored 9 runs in the top of the first. Salt Lake scored 8 runs in the bottom of the first. It took 51 minutes to play that inning. And Joe Garagiola was here with his anti-spit tobacco campaign, and he popped his head in after the bottom of the first and goes, "God, that was the strangest inning I've ever seen." And I said, you know, stealing the line from his book, I go, "Joe, baseball's a funny game." And the game ended on Scott Stachowiak, who was with the Buzz at the time, hitting a 3-run homer just to the left of the batter's eye in center field that not only won the game but gave him the cycle.
You throw the saying back at him. What did he say when you threw his saying back at him?
He laughed. He laughed. It was funny. It was funny.
Give me two or three people we need to be looking out for as guys that, and who knows, they may already be with the Angels considering what they're dealing with right now, but who are two or three guys we need to be keeping an eye on?
Well, first and foremost has got to be Joe Adell, who's the number one prospect in the Angels organization by every publication imaginable. He's a guy that spent a little bit of time with us in 2019, spent all of the shortened season last year with the Angels, but struggled at the plate, hit just 161, struggled a little bit defensively. And Joe Maddon, if I recall correctly, made him an early cut back to the minor league camp from spring training this year because he felt that he needed to be here to fine-tune his game both offensively and defensively. So he's one to kind of watch out for. I can't wait for him to finally hit his first Triple-A home run because he's got 3 big league homers and none at Triple-A because he didn't hit any when he was with Salt Lake back in 2019. Well, actually, he hit 2 in Tacoma, but rain came and canceled the game before it got to the minimum 5 innings, and so those don't count. So a couple of other guys that come to mind. You've got the local kid from Bingham High School, Brandon Lund, who was on Bingham's championship teams in 2011 and 2013. He's a guy that I think opened some eyes the second half of the season in 2019 within the Angels organization, a guy that could wind up at some point in time being in the big leagues. And you've also got Luis Rengifo, who also has spent some time in Salt Lake in 2018 and 2019, but again, he had only 156 in 33 games last year for the Angels, so he needs to work on a few things as well. But those are names, if all familiar names, and all guys that have some things to work on. That's why they're here, and I wouldn't be surprised if all three of them do wind up in the big leagues at some point this year. Mm.
Steve, I'm curious, from your point of view, what is the most difficult position to play in baseball?
I would have to say catcher. I mean, you're locked into every pitch. For example, you and the pitcher are the only two people that handle the ball on a regular basis. Not obviously, it's only the pitcher who has it every play, but I think it's the catcher. He's got to be cerebral. He calls the game back there. You might see a catcher look to the dugout. He's not looking to find out what pitch they want that pitcher to throw. He's looking to see if there's a runner on base, if they want to pitch out in a certain situation, or if they want a pickoff move in a certain situation. So he's got to know the strengths and weaknesses of the hitters, as well as the strength and the weakness of the pitcher who's out there, so that he can work in concert with him to try to get those batters out.
What position in baseball is universally known, defensive position in baseball is universally known as the best hitters?
Usually the power positions are first and third, and generally center field is your on-base guy, your leadoff guy, unless you're a Mike Trout who can do it all. he obviously has been amazing. I give the front office credit. He only played 3 weeks for the Bees in 2012, but we market it like it was 3 years.
Yeah, no doubt.
Wow.
I remember Mark Amicone saying, "You need to get here early because he's not going to be here very long."
Mm-hmm.
And that certainly was the case. And but boy, he certainly was fun to watch for sure. Hey, so I'm curious. I have no idea where you're going to go on this. I don't know if you've tweeted out anything. I've not seen it. So I know that you're a baseball historian. You're an appreciator of baseball and its rules. With that said, did John Means throw a perfect game, or should that be a non-perfect game because of the wild pitch?
It was just a no-hitter. It was not a perfect game, and actually the scorer was wrong. I thought it should have been a pass ball on the catcher, but neither here nor there. It's not a perfect game because a batter did reach base. I mean, it's in the rules. There's, you know, a lot of questions as to whether or not it's a good rule on the drop third strike. It was developed back in the teens, I guess, because catchers were dropping third strikes on purpose to try to draw the runner off of first base and pick him off and make it a double play. So, no, it's not a perfect game. It was a well-pitched game. I watched it. There weren't any hard-hit balls. I think I'm not a big exit velocity guy, but I think the hardest hit ball that Seattle had the entire game was only 95 miles per hour, which is, great for you and I, but not for a major league game. You usually have a number of contact plays where it's over 100 miles per hour, but it was a masterful job by means, but not a perfect game.
Steve, how often when we watch a batter get plunked, when we watch a batter get hit by a pitch, mm-hmm. How often is that on purpose?
I think maybe 5% at most. Most, I think most of the time it's just a situation where the pitch might get away, or in some cases the hitter's leaning in, they want to back him up, and the pitch comes a little bit too far inside. Or the Michael Conforto situation with the Mets where he reached his elbow out and purposely got hit with the bases loaded to bring in the winning run in the bottom of the ninth.
I asked that because I was watching some highlights maybe last week or 2 weeks ago when Trout took the fastball to the nose, and then the following pitch hit another guy right in the back. And I just wondered, is that just a ball getting away from a pitcher? Because if he was aiming at Trout's face and then decided he's going to hit the next batter, that'd be crazy. But you feel like those are both wild pitches.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there was I believe the pitcher who did that, this was his major league debut, and I think the nerves took over there. And I think at one point after the second guy got hit, some of the Angels players were getting on the on his case and saying, or on the opposing bench's case, saying, "Hey, the guy can't throw a strike. He's too nervous. Get him out of there. We want to stay in one piece."
So I apologize. You texted me this, and I didn't get a chance to respond. But Tandoori Oven, were you a fan?
Yes. Yeah, I had never eaten Indian food before other than curry pizza in West Valley. So I was really curious and wanted to try it. And, you know, wanted something special for my 200th Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives visit. And
Number 200.
I thought it was excellent.
That's in Logan?
That's in Logan, yeah.
At the gas station?
Yes, yep, on the way up to the stadium. Yeah, there was there's five restaurants in Logan that have been on the show, and I've been to three of them.
By the way, that there's an apartment complex directly east of that gas station that has that Tandoori Oven.
Yeah, the big sign saying don't park there, you'll get towed.
And you will. and I lived in that apartment complex, and that restaurant used to be a laundromat, and that's where I do my laundry.
That's nice.
Yeah,
but that's in fact, I'll tell you some stories. That restaurant's getting some national notoriety.
Yeah, it's really, really good. I had the chicken tikka masala. My wife had the chicken curry. We had the keema samosa that was stuffed with the ground lamb and peas. It was excellent.
Yeah, good stuff.
Ooh,
I love
that type of food.
I just wanted you to be able to celebrate number 200 on the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Well, that's, you know, I've always said when I travel, I like to eat local rather than chain, but local can be iffy. So if it's been on the show, I'm pretty sure the food was going to be good.
That's a good point. Steve Klauke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. The Bees get underway coming up today. I tell you what, this is an opportunity. I know, what is it, 3,200?
3,200, and it is a sellout tonight.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And I got to imagine that number is going to increase here pretty quickly as we continue on throughout the summer.
I have to think so with, you know, the Jazz at, 6,700? And I thought – I was at the game last night, and I thought it was well-spaced.
Really quick before I let you go, Steve, greatest first baseman in the history of baseball.
Boy, greatest first baseman in the history of baseball. There's so many choices. I am going to go old school and go Lou Gehrig.
Oh, can't go wrong with that.
You have somebody in mind, don't you?
No, I don't. No,
no, I don't. I just I sit back here. Your knowledge in baseball is just fascinating to me, Steve. I could sit there and pick your brain on these things all day long, because I don't have a good baseball background. But I do love learning about certain aspects of sports. That's why I kind of go into some different angles with you. But Lou Gehrig, huh? He was as good a hitter as he was a baseman?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing, too, Hans, is that I guess if I ever put my mind to good use besides baseball and puns, that who knows what I could have done in my life. But actually, one of the other reasons I'm looking forward to the game tonight, maybe this will finally erase the memory of that terrible first-round loss to Southern Illinois for Weber State in football, especially with Southern Illinois scoring a big touchdown on an illegal fake field goal. It's been proven that it was illegal because the receiver just kind of snuck out onto the field from the sideline without reporting inside the numbers. That should have been an automatic 15-yard unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. Whistle flag should have been thrown as he lined up for the line of scrimmage.
And then forced to kick a field goal 15 yards out, and who knows what's going to happen at that point.
Exactly. Obviously, yeah. The Wildcats made some mistakes along the way that they shot themselves in the foot, but that play will forever gnaw at me.
Time to get rid of it, Steve. Get back out there.
I know. I still remember a goal that I gave up in indoor gym hockey in high school that still haunts me. I can picture it in my mind every day.
All right, so let's test that memory.
Okay.
First game you called in Salt Lake for the Bees or whatever the name was
at the
time. The Buzz. And the opponent and the score. Do you remember?
The score, I believe, was 8-2, and it was in Vancouver after we had back-to-back rainouts the first 2 days. And so we actually had the free rein of the BC Place Dome Stadium there in Vancouver because it was in a baseball configuration. And so because of that, we had to play back-to-back doubleheaders in Vancouver on that Saturday and Sunday. And I'm thinking, well, welcome to the PCL. And by the way, I was completely off. I just pulled out my scorebook. It was 2-1 Vancouver in that very first game with the Salt Lake winning the second game 10-3.
But you have the scorecard, though, still.
I have all of my scorebooks going back to that first year in 1994, and they're all here at my fingertips so I can look through all 3,758 games that I've done. Give or take a few.
So you're a couple years away from four.
Yeah, I don't count the – some people say I should. I don't count the two exhibition games between the Buzz and the Minnesota Twins that we played.
Oh, I think you should.
All right, then it's 3,760.
Bam. Let's go. Steve, you're the best, man. Always fun catching up to you. Enjoy the season. It's great to have Bees baseball back, and great to have you back on the air.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Steve Klauke right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hell of a broadcaster, better human being.
He's something, isn't he?
I love it.
He is a very unique mind. I want people to understand. Steve's a great guy, and he's fun to just kick back and shoot the ball with. But he's got a very unique mind, which sets him up to be as great as he's been in the call for the Bees. Calling minor league baseball wouldn't be easy.
Well,
as many games as you got and as much time as you spend alone in that booth.
And you don't have a color analyst. It's just you.
Yeah. And the names, I mean, the array of names and the constant turnover of talent.
Guys are coming up. Guys are dropping down. I mean, it's crazy.
How often is he changing out that card deck?
Oh, I got to imagine daily, honestly.
A lot of fun. Maybe we get Steve on at some point here in the next couple of weeks and just go through baseball questions. I've got a list here of about 100 different questions I would love
and
to ask him.
He'd go nuts on
that. Oh, yeah, he would.
All right, we're live here at My Hearing Center, 801-438-7058. One thing I think we need to stress here, Matt, is that we've talked about, you know, this location and we're at the same place every time we come down here, but you got locations all up and down the Wasatch Front.
But yeah, we're from Logan all the way down to Nephi. Everywhere in between, you know, we've got some great patients in the Utah County area, and we've got great patients up in Davis. So we'll help you out wherever you are.
Well, and that's key too, because you don't want to drive a long way. You don't want to deal with a lot of issues in trying to get it configured. But the other part of this is, once you get things set up, you don't need to come here to get things altered or configured or anything, you can sometimes do that just right at home.
Yeah, we've got this really cool app with an audiology assistant where you can go on and tell the assistant what's going on, and it will make adjustments to your hearing. And here's what's cool about it is it's connected to thousands of different other people. And so it's learning constantly what's working, what's not working. So every day we get an update on that app.
Yeah.
Now you don't have to have it on your phone, but the database is updated, and we know this is working, this isn't. So as people type in their issues, we can get better and better at helping those people out.
But the bottom line is you don't just slap a couple of hearing aids in a dude and kick him out the door and say, all right, you're out.
No, the hearing aid is really just the tool, and the tool is only as good as the person working with it, right? If we just hand you the tool and said good luck, you're not going to know how to do anything with it, right? We were talking earlier about doing some landscaping in the back, right? If you want to get your landscaping right, you're going to hire somebody to come in and get that landscaping. Otherwise, you're going to spend a lot of money on a lot of materials that don't get in place right. And not that we want you to spend a lot of money here, but when you come in, you're going to leave with a great experience because that tool is going to be programmed appropriately for your needs.
Call right now, 801-438-7058. And I think the free, hearing consultation, I mean, that's impressive that you guys are offering that.
You know, we really want people to not have any barriers or reduce the amount of barriers that are going to come in and help them out. So we're offering a free hearing evaluation today and an opportunity to try the hearing aids risk-free for 30 days. We talk about the new technology. It's the Signia AX. We already talked about how it has two processors to help separate background noise and speech. We now also have a 22% battery life improvement.
Wow.
So before we could take 24 hours, now we can go a full 36 hours for those doctors now. Now we're talking to the doctors that need to be on call for those 36 or in the hospital for 36 hours. You can have the hearing aid for the entire 36 hours you're there. Wow. And then it's got a charger that you can carry with you. Put it in the charger for 30 minutes, and you got another 6 hours if you need it. So we're really trying to make these not just perform well, but also have all the other technologies that you need to really enjoy the listening experience.
801-438-7058. Call that number right now, 801-438-7058. The first 30 people to get signed up for that free hearing evaluation, one of those listeners is going to win a free set of the Signia AX hearing aid. So you got to call 801-438-7058 right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Ryan Abraham, USCFootball.com, joining us. Utah visits on October 9th. BYU visits on November 27th. Is there any juice for those games?
Less so for the BYU game. I mean, they were pretty upset to lose that game going on the road. But, I mean, the Utah one, USC fans circle it all the time. I think if they played BYU more, you'd get a little bit more of that. There'll be some kind of revenge factor or whatever. But I think USC fans know that if you're going to win the South, it's got to go through Utah. And, winning the division for 2 years in a row, I think that got a lot of Trojan fans' attention. So I think the Utah one is the one they always look forward to because they know it's really important as far as trying to win the Pac-12.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Brought to you by Zero Res. Get those carpets cleaned, rooms cleaned for as little as $33 per room. Make the phone call right now, 801-288-9376. Hands, let's start with the good, shall we?
Well, we were talking about Justin Foster, who is a defensive end for Clemson. Remember back at the beginning of COVID? Remember he was one of the guys that got COVID?
Yes, that's right.
And you remember defensive end and Dabo Swinney came out and was like, this is an NFL-level guy. And he got COVID and he had asthma. And at that point, he retired from football. He said, I'm done. I can't do it. My lungs are hatched. I'm burnt out. I feel terrible. Well, Scotty, he just announced today that he has completely overcome his health complications due to COVID. And he is coming out of retirement, and he is going to continue to play football. So, to me, it's a big deal because it's just another thing that signifies that, we're beating this COVID-19 thing back a little bit.
Yeah.
And there were so many bleak moments a year ago from right now. So many bleak moments. Yeah. I mean, it was just, issue after issue. You know, B's baseball being shut down and things being shut down and people sick and our death rate starting to go up and our infection rate starting to soar and all of these negative things. And it's kind of nice to see positive things happening. I know that there are still bad things going on. We all know that. But this is just another, it's just another signifying moment that we're beating this. And Justin Foster coming back to play football might mean nothing here, but in the fight against COVID, I think it's pretty substantial.
I think so for sure. And by the way, just some news and notes. I know there's a press conference going on with Spencer Cox and Angela Dunn right now. And just looking at some of the numbers from today, 395 cases. And Thursday's usually kind of your larger day in terms of cases.
Yeah.
That's the first time we've seen a Thursday with under 400 cases since all the way back to June 11th, almost a full year ago. We've had a Thursday with less than 400 cases.
Almost exactly a year.
Yeah.
And I want to, I because I think this is significant, but we also need to wait 2 or 3 weeks to really see the overall effects of it because we've had a lot of mandates lifted.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've returned back to pretty much full Sunday service, and we're 2 weeks into that, so maybe another 2-3 weeks we start to see the effects of that statewide.
They're also, you know, I think we're at a point now where you can get ages 12 through 15 vaccinated. Governor Cox, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be so loosey-goosey with that, mentioned today that if we can get those kids vaccinated, it will really make cases plummeting because right now, according to government officials, they're responsible for a lot of the spreading because they don't get sick, but they still get it and they can still spread it. So
it would help.
Would help in a big, big way.
Very good.
All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Kyrie Irving a little bit lighter in the wallet, about to the tune of $35,000. And it's all because the NBA says the point guard won't stop missing out on media availability or won't work with the media members. NBA announced this evening that it's hit Irving and the team with $35,000 fines. Remember, he was also hit with a $25,000 fine for dodging media during training camp. Look, if he wants to do it and he's willing to take the fine, that's okay. But it'll be interesting to see if those fines start to escalate a little bit if he continues to do this. Already gone from 25 to 35. Is it going to be 50 next?
Does the NBA have the ability to do that, or does the NBPA fight back on that?
I think there's rules in the collective bargaining agreement for this. I think it's set on there's a structure set.
I don't know if they can keep pushing, but I don't know. Maybe if there's like insubordination or maybe a fine that goes above what's happening with Kyrie Irving, but money's not going to change how he's acting. I don't think a $35,000 fine towards him. And I don't think a $35,000 fine because as you mentioned, they fine both him and the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah.
I don't think that's enough to change what's happening. My guess is he'll continue. The thing is, there's a certain part of me that's like, you know, if a player has no intention to talk to his fan base, then as a media, I have no intention to talk to that player. I know it's our job to bring that information, but there are guys that actually understand where their income comes from. It's the people that the media are trying to get you to.
Yep.
Their responsibility is to take you to the people that are consuming your product. That's all we are. We're just a conduit. We're a go-between.
Yeah.
I don't want to be there. Like I don't want to sit there in front of some of these players. It's a job to me.
Yeah.
And these guys look at media members as, oh, they're the enemy, especially Kyrie Irving. Remember, he called them pawns at one point?
Yeah.
And said, I don't want to talk to those pawns. And then he had to come back and apologize. I wasn't trying to take it. Yes, you were. You were taking a personal shot. But then you've got guys like Joe Ingles that I think a lot of what Joe Ingles has become in this market is his willingness to go on with the morning show.
With DJ
and be open.
Yeah, with DJ and PK, it has been obviously great for DJ and PK, great for the radio station. But Joe Ingles started doing that when Joe Ingles was kind of the guy that, oh, we keep him around because he keeps the locker room loose and he's a fun dude to be around and he's good for team chemistry. Before he became, oh my gosh, this guy's a great player and he's really critical to what we're trying to do as a team. And I think that has really elevated his who he is, and he's earned all the money that he's gotten and will continue to get with his play, but his popularity has soared to the point where nobody wants Joe Ingles to go anywhere, and I think a lot of that's due to his willingness to allow people to get to know him as a person thanks to those weekly interviews.
Mm-hmm. I get it that some of these players get slighted. You know, there's some media that takes what they say out of context, and there's some people that they might want to avoid, and there's some guys in the media that really do think that they're friends, that really, really think, hey, I'm friends with Donovan Mitchell. No, you're really not.
No, you're not.
You're really not. So don't act that way. Just do your job and bring their audio and give it to the listener.
Yeah.
Give it to the fan, the consumer. Because players know when you're being fake. Players know. As an athlete, I knew what my job was and I knew what my role was. And I treated all radio and writers, I treated them all good. Because the better you treat them, more often than not, the better they treat you in response to negative situations. But with Kyrie Irving, it's like...
Kyrie Irving, let's be honest, he doesn't care about the media, and that's fine. Doesn't care about the fans. Doesn't care much about anything outside of himself. And I think he wants to win. I think there's a driving fire within him to win games. But at the end of the day, he doesn't care about all the other things that go along with it.
No.
I mean, basketball's a way to make a lot of money. And that's what it is to him.
But as an NBA fan, how much do you want your NBA players to care? Like, how much do you want them to care and how much of it is, I don't care if you do care. Just win. That's all I care. I don't care if you give a crap about me. I don't care if you miss your media. I don't care if I never hear from you. Just go win games.
Yeah.
How much of it is that?
I think there's some of that, but I also think there's a fan base that if you hit a game-winning shot, they want to hear you. They want to hear you talk about it. If you gave up a layup that cost you a game with 5 seconds left, they want to know your perspective on why that happened. Like there's an element of wanting to know what's going on, and as a member of the media, you can provide that. Now I'm not naive. There's members of the media that have their own. Their own ambition and their own drive, and they're going to spin things one way or not. And they may have even some bad feelings, and they may try to kill you a little bit. And you can sift through that. You can find the right people to talk to. I mean, I'm sure there were people that you wanted to talk to in the media and that you didn't want to talk to in the media.
Yeah, there were guys that I avoided.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And but you still need to get your message out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still have things you need to say because it's good for you and your popularity. You want to sell jerseys.
You do.
Yeah.
But obviously Kyrie Irving at this point doesn't care. And I don't know how much that really means to the Brooklyn Nets fan base.
Yeah. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
So this whole situation started just a couple of days ago, Scotty. Did you happen to see any of the back and forth between the Capitals and the Rangers in the NHL?
Yeah.
So apparently there's a forward. His name's Tom Wilson, and he's been extremely aggressive on the ice. He's a forward for the Capitals, and he's just extremely aggressive. Well, the other day, he took Ranger superstar Artemi Panarin, and if anybody has seen the highlights, he kind of grabbed his hair and grabbed his face and body slammed his head down into the ice and then came down and threw a couple of punches. Everybody feels like it all went too far.
Yeah.
When in reality, it's the NHL. I don't even know in fighting what is too far. I mean, taking off your skate maybe and kicking somebody in the throat. But to me, it's a fight. Yeah. We're in a fight.
A playground fight.
I'm punching you. I get a hold of your head, and I can slam you into the ice. I'm going to do it because that's a win for me. And the NHL has kind of set the standard. And there was probably a lot of NHL fanatics out there that are like, oh, Hans, the standard isn't slamming a dude in the ice. You're letting two dudes punch each other in the face. It's escalating to that level of aggression. At some point, I'm punching you in the face. I got a chance to take your head and face and throw it down in the ice. Well, aggression takes me that way.
Well,
anger and aggression.
But it does seem like when the guys hit the ground, that's when the refs will come in.
Typically.
Yeah. And so that seems to be the line.
There was a big scrum off the side. You're right. There was another scrum, and officials were occupied. But they were kind of there. There are officials that are being really scrutinized over how they handled when Tom Wilson took this guy down. But anyways, they had a match last night. So they had a game last night. The Rangers and Capital on the ice. And right as the official dropped the puck, gloves came off across the front, and it was just a melee. Everybody said, screw it. And it wasn't even about Tom Wilson. Wilson wasn't even on the ice at that point. They just said, we just want to fight. So everybody threw their gloves off, and they fought. And there were a bunch of penalty minutes being divvied out and guys being thrown in the box. A couple minutes goes by. Tom Wilson skates out on the ice. And as he's skating onto the ice, a Rangers player came over, attacked him, grabbed – the problem was Tom Wilson got the best of that guy. Obviously, Tom's a tough dude, and he's a regulator. Because this Ranger – I think they designated one of the defenders because he's one of the Rangers defenders to skate over. He's supposed to be a tough guy, and Tom's like, pop, 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 hits him in the face a few times, gets the leverage on him, hits him in the side of the head a few times. I think Tom might have broke his hand, though, because – Tom Wilson's out with an upper body issue. There were 100 penalty minutes assigned from 6 fights within the first 5 minutes of that game last night in Madison Square Garden. That's how crazy it was. But that's hockey. And I know I'm going to get the enthusiasts that are like, it's not hockey, Hedge. It's not. This is going too far. It's going overboard. And Scotty, you're right. Get him down to the ice and probably back off. That dude took him down to the ice with his hair and his head hit the ground. If you want to stop this, then you got to stop the fighting. You stop the fighting, you take a part of the NHL that is part of the draw for the NHL. I don't know what the answer is. To me, this is the first time we've talked hockey.
Yeah.
And what are we talking about? The fighting portion of it.
I just honestly don't – I mean, I would never want to be an official in hockey because to be able to judge like, okay, fight, 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 fight. All right, we're done now. Like, it just seems like, you know, it's really difficult to try to figure
to
out.
To manage the fighting portion.
Because you know it's part of the game and it's part of the popularity, and you allow it to a certain extent.
Uh-huh.
But when you have to step in and say, okay, that's too much, now it's got to stop. Now you've gone too far.
Typically when they go down to the ice, though, right?
Yep. That's what I've always heard, yeah.
When a man is grounded.
Yeah. A little bit of breaking news from morning show producer Jake Hatch. Said, just tweeted out, I can confirm that BYU center Matt Harms has informed the coaching staff he will not return to play for BYU next season. Mark Pope and company put on a full court press for him to return, but Harms held true to what he said after the NCAA tournament loss about being done at BYU. So one and done for Matt Harms at BYU.
Good luck to you, Matt.
I don't know if he is just calling it quits on his basketball career, if he wants to go play somewhere else for one more year. Not sure what that'll play, or maybe, you know, dip his toe in the water in the NBA. Not sure, but Matt Harms is done at BYU.
It's crazy that we're to the point now where you just kind of put an airplane ticket in the kid's hand and say, all right, see ya. Bye.
Bye. I really don't like the direction of college basketball, but this is what it's going to be. You know, you don't build a team for 3-4 years anymore. It's a – you have a team for 1 year, and then it blows up, and then you have another team the next year, and it blows up, and then another team, and that's just how it's going to be now. Like, that's college basketball. You will have an entirely, not entirely, but a significant amount of turnover year after year after year. I think that sucks for the fans not to be able to, and I know I'm being get off my lawn guy, and it's fine. You know, this is the way we are now, but you always loved watching a kid come out of nowhere as a freshman, like, ooh. Got 3 more years and watching him develop into a senior when he becomes, you know, a great threat and you see the development, you'd be like, yeah, you know, I watched him play his first year as a freshman. Boy, he really struggled. It's crazy to see what he is now, you know. That's just kind of the interesting thing to see how this is all playing out. All right, Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. What you may have missed coming up next.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson. Different athletes have wanted parts of the franchise before.
Didn't you get 15 points in your semi-pro hockey team? Didn't you get 15% of that club?
No, I didn't. No. But I was, I don't want to get into
it. What was the name of the goalie you had on that team there, Gordon?
Well, for a couple of years, it was Bill Puxley. But, you know, then, we've parted ways. I haven't really kept up with him.
Bill Puxley. Man, he could really stop that puck.
Not to be confused with the winger John Ice Nettington.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our
hands. And Scotty here on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Kurt Helan will join us coming up in about 7 minutes from right now. I like this poll you put out there. That's interesting.
Yeah. It's just a go to at 975 Hants. I just tweeted out. It's an image.
And what, John Cena?
Says you're getting jumped by 50 ninjas. You can only pick three of these individuals, and they've got like 20 or so individuals on here that you could pick from, including, I don't know, like
Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris is on there, and I know a lot of people take Chuck Norris. Jackie Chan is on there. I took Bruce Lee. I took Mike Tyson. And, you've got you got Danielson.
Yeah, no thanks on that one.
And I took John Cena. Those were the three I took. Pretty tough.
Some of these guys I don't even know.
You're not taking Madea?
No, I'm not. I don't know why they've got Madea on there.
Right?
Who's C?
What the hell's Madea doing on there?
I don't know. C, that is, that's Vin Diesel, but he plays in that.
That's Riddick.
Riddick. Good, Lloyd.
Okay.
Do you know who O is?
No.
Lloyd, O, Johnny O?
I don't even know who D is either.
Yeah, who is O on that? He might be from like a comic strip or. I don't know who that guy is. But you got Tony Fontana on there from
Scarface.
Some good stuff. Scotty, whole world news today is harrowing. An incredible story. Okay, I've got two to choose from. Both of them involve childbirth. Would you like a local childbirth story that's kind of a miracle, or would you like a worldwide childbirth story that is unbelievable? Like, I can't even believe it. Which would you like?
Let's go to the local angle.
Okay, local angle. Delta flight takes off from Salt Lake City yesterday, all right? In the middle of the flight, this woman is sitting in her seat, has zero idea that she's pregnant, and goes into labor.
She doesn't know she's pregnant?
Had no idea. She's just sitting in her
seat.
I'm
always amazed how that happens.
I know.
I mean, look. I mean, you and I are not of that gender, so, you know, it's probably we can't really talk on that on any kind of authority, but it just kind of seems like when you know, but maybe, you know, maybe I'm off on that.
But you're right. Like, but I do know that this is a phenomenon that happens.
Yeah.
The baby just doesn't kick, or you don't feel the internal movement, or you don't get the morning sickness. Some bodies don't change as much. This woman is sitting on the flight. And they're on their way. They're over the ocean on their way to Hawaii, which is, what, a five-hour flight?
Yeah, about that.
And all of a sudden, water breaks, babies are coming. Who would have guessed that on that flight was three NICU nurses from Salt Lake City and a prominent doctor from the area? And so, obviously, they get on the mic and they're like, hey, is there any medical personnel on the flight? All four of them raised their hand like, oh, yeah, we excel in this.
Yep.
Well, it turns out that this baby was 29 weeks.
Oh, man, a little early, huh?
I think that's early.
Yeah, that's way early. 40 weeks is your normal.
Oh, 40 is
normal?
Gestation,
yeah.
So the baby came at 29 weeks, and they had all this makeshift stuff. Like, they took an iWatch from somebody and used it as the baby's heart monitor. To check its
the Apple Watch?
The Apple Watch. Yeah. The iWatch or
Apple
Watch.
Yeah, I'm not giving up my iWatch, sorry.
Yeah, that's how I am, too. Like,
yeah, you're not getting that.
Anybody got an Apple Watch? And you put your arm down. No.
I'm pulling my sleeves down over my wrist. No. Nope.
Yeah.
Your iWatch could save
this. Okay, it's an Apple. Quit calling it an iWatch. It's an Apple Watch.
Yeah, I just wanted him to keep saying iWatch.
Lloyd.
Well, anyways, they use that thing to monitor the baby's heart rate.
I catch you eyeing my iWatch. I don't think so. It's not happening.
But is this just a miracle? NICU nurses.
So the baby's fine then? Or
baby's fine. Mama's fine.
Because 29 weeks, you're usually spending some time in the NICU on that.
The mom is Lavinia Moonga. And you remember there's quite a bit I remember there was a Moonga that played at BYU, a football player. So might be family. I do think that she's from Salt Lake City. I've seen a couple of people post about this thing, but how crazy is that? Three NICU nurses and a doctor is like, oh, no, we got this.
I was on a flight. This was, not that long, like a couple months ago. And I heard some stuff going on behind, a stewardess and a couple other people talking. And all of a sudden she gets on the mic and she goes, do we have a doctor on the plane? And somebody in the row next to me goes, I am. And they went back there and I don't know what the issue was. We landed normally, and there were two ambulances waiting when we got there. And this lady was able to walk off under her own power. I don't know what was going on, but they had an ambulance waiting for her.
Guy was probably a dentist.
Just one time, I'd love to hear, do we have a sports personality?
Do we have a radio broadcaster?
Anybody with a great voice?
And I'm like, I'm right here. Let's go. What would you like to talk
about? How can I help? How can I service you? What do you need?
They're like, I've got my voice is gone. I need somebody to make these announcements on the safety manual. And I'm like, I got you. Let's go. Let's do this.
Sorry, we've got a group back here that's trying to run an I formation. We can't decipher if we're trying to hit B gap or if we're going to pull trap. What are we going to do here?
Is this a cover two? What's going on here?
I've got this. Everybody calm down back here. Calm down.
We've got a professional.
We're going to leave a safety deep. We're going to press on the outsides. Oh, thank the good heavens above that we have you.
This could have been a tragedy.
Just once.
Just one time.
Just want to feel needed.
Hey, we're live here at My Hearing Center giving away a free pair of the Signia AX. You just have to be one of 30 people to call and schedule that free hearing evaluation. But let's talk about these Signia AXs. This is a Maserati of hearing aids.
You know, they're unique. They're new. They're not as good as Hans' voice. But they will help you hear his voice better. What you need to do is you need to give one of those record my voice on your voicemail things away. I think people would come.
Is there
back
such
to that.
A thing?
Well, yeah, you just do a little challenge and record someone's voicemail for him. Hands. I let you record my voicemail.
People still have voicemail?
Well, I think so. I don't ever get that far.
Yeah, I know.
Usually hang up and text before we get there. But anyways, going back to the AX. We've got a great product. This is the first of its kind dual processors in a hearing aid. So if you think about this thing is running just as fast as your computers did about 5-10 years ago.
Wow.
What?
That's crazy.
Right, with this dual processor in there. And a lot of your hearing aids that are on the market today, they're using one processor and they're doing a good job at it. They go up to about 48 channels. Well, now this dual processor, again, there's two of them. Each processor goes out to 96 channels. So you got almost 200 channels between the two. And what does that mean? That means it can separate every sound along a scale at 96 points to deliver you a crisp, perfect volume at each of those sounds where you need it for your hearing loss.
You've been doing this for a long time. It probably even shocks you.
I didn't even think this would come. Like, I didn't even think that I didn't even think that this would be something someone would even look into. It's so shocking.
But somebody's out there developing this.
Some engineer's like, hey, what if we took two processors and put it in a hearing aid? What's going to happen then?
What response are you getting from people that are wearing these?
You know, we just got this. Actually, we're looking for 30 people to come in and try and give us some feedback on this hearing aid because we need to know
how long do they get it. How long do they get to take it?
They're going
to
take it for 30 days. at risk-free. At the end of the 30 days, we'll give them a gift card to Home Depot as a thank you. And if they do want to keep the hearing aid after that, we're also going to give them some discounts on those hearing aids.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Call 801-438-7058. It's a free hearing evaluation. It will cost you nothing to come in, see where you're at, and then that gets you into a drawing for a free set of those hearing aids. But you got to call 801-438-7058. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.